Action, camera.
Begin how, here, Genesis 40. We'll begin with verses 1 through 4. Joseph is in prison now. And here, I've titled these verses, The Imprisonment of the Cupbearer, as he's called, and Baker. So we'll look at these four verses here as a unit. First, the Hebrew here. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. You have the wow consecutive, followed with the cow and perfect third matching singular or verb. It came about Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. After is your adverb Akar, A-C-H-A-R. These things is your definite article with the common masculine plural noun, absolute, the bar. Modified then with the definite article, adjective, both plural, our word Ella, E-L-L-E-H, the bar, D-A-B-A-R. Hence, these things, after these things. Then you have your word translated offended. Here in the Hebrew is your cow, perfect, third common plural, katha, C-H-A-T-H-A. It literally means miss the mark, is sin. That's what the hamartia in the Greek, katha in the Hebrew, both of them, that's their primary meaning, is miss the mark. And when you're dealing with the transgression in regards to God, it means that you missed the mark of God's righteousness. So you can see why rebound was coined in regards to getting back in fellowship. You missed your shot. You missed the mark when you engage in personal sin and maintaining God's righteousness. So you rebound. Translated, they transgressed or offended. So it's a pretty serious matter, obviously. Then you have our nouns and our words, participles to describe who offended. First is your common masculine singular noun construct, masheke, M-A-S-H-E-Q-E-H. Literally means to give drink. We saw it back in Genesis 13, verse 10. Hence the cupbearer, the drink giver, the wine steward. I prefer butler. That pretty much sums up really the position this person had as we would understand it today. He was the cupbearer of who? The king of Egypt. Not the Pharaoh, as I pointed out, the king. You had the common masculine singular construct noun Melek, M-E-L-E-K, followed proper noun Egypt. And then the second person, the baker. Wow conjunction, definite article. A baker is obviously is a participle, obviously a substantival here. A cow participle, masculine singular, apha, A-P-H-A-H. Hence the one baking, baker. We would say chef. You have the preposition lamed, the baker for their lords. Is what you have in the Hebrew. They offended the cupbearer and the baker for their lords or masters. Preposition lamed followed with the common masculine plural construct, third masculine plural suffix adon, lord or master, A-D-O-N. For the king of Egypt, again, preposition lamed, then the same construction, melek, followed proper noun, Egypt. Melek being M-E-L-E-K, common masculine singular construct. Verse 2. And Pharaoh was furious with his two officials. And now they're referred to as the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Wow, consecutive. Then our word for furious is the cow imperfect third masculine singular verb, kasaph, Q-A-T-S-A-P-H. And he angered, he was furious. This verb highlights the relationship between the parties. fureth between Pharaoh and the high officials here. The proper noun, Pharaoh. Then with his two officials is your preposition to all, A-L. Then two is your adjective, masculine, dual, obviously two in number, construct, Shanaim. Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M, with the two of in the construct. His officials, you have the common masculine plural construct, with the third masculine singular suffix, saris, officials, leaders, heads, their department. Then you have the preposition all repeated with, and then our noun for chief. Is a common masculine singular construct, sar, S-A-R. Cupbearer or butlers, you have the definite article. It's the chief of the cupbearers or the butlers, the others who may be subservient to him, but in the same profession is the idea here. Definite article, again, common masculine plural absolute, mashakeh, cupbearers. And wow conjunction, preposition all repeated, sar, chief, common masculine singular construct, S-A-R, definite article. Then our word for baker again is your participle, substantival participle with a definite article, cal, masculine plural, afa, A-P-H-A-H. Verse 3, so he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to put is a cal imperfect. Third masculine singular, Nathan, gave them over to the jailers, if you will. N-A-T-H-A-N. Them is your sign and direct object here with the third masculine plural suffix, F, E-T-H. With guard, literally, or in confinement of, as it may be translated here one way or the other. Preposition bet, common masculine singular noun construct, mishamar, M-I-S-H-E-M-A-R. He put them with guard or in confinement of, would be a probably more literal translation here, the house of the captain of the bodyguard. What you have in the Hebrew here. A house is your common masculine singular construct, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. Bodyguard, or excuse me, the house of, then captain, chief, common masculine singular construct, sar, S-A-R. Bodyguard is your definite article, common masculine plural noun absolute, thavak, thavak, T-H-A-B-B-A-C-H. Then you have the preposition L, follow with our noun for house again, E-L, bayeth, to the house of. Here, just simply translated in the jail, you have in the Hebrew, to the house of roundness, as we have already dealt with this, used earlier. Definite article, common masculine singular absolute, sohar, means roundness, hence it's a tower is what you're looking at. A tower with a dungeon in it and places to protect the palace, defend, things of that nature. Here, simply the jail. That's where the jail was located, down in the belly of it. The place which Joseph was imprisoned. The place of is your common masculine singular construct, Macom, M-A-Q-O-M. Which is your relative pronoun, as share, A-S-H-E-R, Joseph, proper noun. Being bound or imprisoned is a cal passive participle denoting continuous action. A masculine singular absolute, asar, A-S-A-R. There is adverb sham, S-H-A-M. Verse 4. And the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them. And he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. You had the wow consecutive, followed with a cal imperfect third masculine singular, our verb to first to put charge, to give charge over, to oversee, is your verb phakad, P-H-A-Q-A-D. He gave charge to or made to oversee. We saw it back in 39, verse 4 and 5, the same verb there in regards to Joseph with Potiphar, put him in charge of the household, the other servants, etc. The one who put him in charge is the captain of the bodyguard. You have our noun sar again, S-A-R, common masculine singular construct. The definite article, the bach, common masculine plural absolute, bodyguard, T-H-A-B-B-A-C-H. Pharaoh's personal security force. Sign of direct object, proper noun, Joseph. In with them in the Hebrew preposition F with the third masculine plural suffix, E-T-H. And he took care of them. While consecutive, then our verb to take care of is the PL, which is intensive. And perfect third masculine singular, Sharath, S-H-A-R-A-T-H, served, took care of them. Sign of direct object, again with the third masculine plural suffix. And they were in confinement for some time. You have the while consecutive. Cal and perfect third masculine plural, Hayah. They came to exist literally. Translated were. English consistently translates these as to be verbs, but there is no to be verb in the Hebrew. It's understood. I brought that out how many times. But anyway, you still get the sense. It's fine. How long they came to exist was days, as it's put. It's a common masculine plural absolute yom. Not told how many, but simply days, Y-O-M, in confinement, is your final phrase in the Hebrew preposition bet, with the common masculine singular absolute noun, mishamar, M-I-S-H-E-M-A-R. All right, rereading the four verses again. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker, the king of Egypt, offended, transgressed against their lord, the king of Egypt. Verse 2, and Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Verse 3, so he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, and the house around us in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. Verse 4, and the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them. And he took care of them. He served them. And they were in confinement for days, literally. Now, this is verses 1 through 4. 1. Joseph's internment in prison was at least 2 full years, as we brought out in the introduction to these chapters, 41:1. At the end of 2 full years. We have deduced that Joseph was enslaved and imprisoned for a total of 13 years. He was in Potiphar's house at least 10 into the 11th year. How far into the 11th year, we can't say for certain. But after he's in there for a little bit, these two individuals are introduced for days, and then 2 full years occurs after the fact. So 2, that it was 13 years of enslavement before his promotion to vizier, which would be 1665 B.C. We would date his imprisonment here 1668 to 1667 B.C. or in the 11th year in Potiphar's house, which I alluded to in our introduction, maybe not clearest way, but it was there. 3, as our introduction revealed, not long after Joseph's imprisonment, there was an attempted coup on the throne of the 12th dynasty of Egypt. the introduction just truly it opens up the picture. It gives you such a more complete picture and understanding of how God orchestrated all this. For Moses simply, in his part, for our recording in the scripture, Moses simply introduces the pertinent characters of that historical event that had direct impact on Joseph's ultimate promotion to vizier. That's all that's necessary that Moses is inspired to write down for us in the Bible. Five of these include the king of Egypt, also known as Pharaoh, the chief cupbearer, the primary players, the chief baker, the captain of the bodyguard, introduced here in our first four verses, all these characters, and then last but not necessarily least, the magicians of Egypt and all his wise men, that comes in verse 8 of chapter 41. They are instrumental in the fact that these are the talking heads, the geniuses of the time, supposedly, that could go in and interpret dreams, which we'll deal with to a certain degree, obviously, that aspect. And they failed to do so, which obviously opens the doors, enter Joseph. So six, now the two main characters are servants, as we've seen, are introduced in verse 1. Quote, then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. While Hayah, Akar, Hadavar, Haela, Kapha, Meshachah, Melech, Egypt, while Ha, Afa, Lamed, Adon, Lamed, Melech, Egypt. Seven, the phrase, quote, it came about after these things, end quote, harks back to Joseph's incarceration and promotion then to chief turnkey of the jail, ending chapter 39, which that's a position that we would relate to. You're given charge over the jail. You're given the keys to the cell to handle and deal with the prisoners, to make sure they do their chores and all the other aspects necessary to management the Hanoi Hilton or whatever you want to call it. I dated myself just then, didn't I? Eight, the surety of his position. So as we saw back in 39, in spite of being thrown in jail, guiltless, God was still with him. God put it in the chief jailer's ear to give Joseph as much freedom as possible in this situation, condition, and as much authority as possible, and allowed him to basically run the jail for him. That probably came about by Potiphar, as I brought out, which seems the most logical thing, putting a bug in his ear, just how good Joseph was, or he might have just knew it. From the 11 years that Joseph, for 10 years that Joseph had been serving, and the word gets around. But either way, obviously, he would have needed Potiphar's permission to do that. And he was thrown in jail, and he became the chief turnkey. And this is the reality of life. With the blessing comes the testing. With the testing comes the blessing. It's a thing that goes back and forth. And while one might think, and here's where some of the isagoge comes into play, the historical background in regards to this comes into play, one might think, well, just by reading the scriptures, well, everything just was hunky-dory. He interpreted dreams. He has to sit there for 2 years out. But there's more to it. And that is that the authority that gave him the chief jailer the authority to put him in that position is no longer in authority. So, eight, the surety of his position is quickly tested by the events of this coup that occurred on Amenhotep the First. So, 9, as we noted, Potiphar is replaced due to his participation in the coup, whether he was killed during the battle, the guards, or simply executed after the fact. He is replaced immediately. Obviously, his ultimate demise has little bearing in regards to once he's realized he was part of it, you're out of there. You're no longer captain of the bodyguard. So 10, as it is, often a change of leadership affects the subordinate ranks. Put in a new boss, a lot of times those who work with them, etc., they find themselves with some change in their own lives. So 11, as we will see, God shelters Joseph in his position in spite of the chaos and whirlwind of uncertainty the coup would have produced. He's in there, now I'm in this situation. What's this going on? A coup in regards to the throne. Well, Potiphar, who might have been back to me, being the chief turnkey, he's no longer around. And then as I brought out the whole situation with the jail, may have been God just delivering Joseph from being involved in regards to being complicit in regards to the coup. And to me, that just makes so much sense. But as it is, that is an opinion through deductive reasoning. That's point 12. Further, it is very possible that Joseph jailing delivered him from the same fate as Potiphar. He was Potiphar's right hand man. Potiphar was one of the lead insurrectionists, and he's there, and he's been there doing all of his work and everything. He would have been part of the dragnet along with the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, as well as everybody else. That just makes sense. All right, 13. Now, two times in verse 1. Moses refers to the reigning Pharaoh as, quote, the king of Egypt, end quote. 14, it is our author's subtle way of revealing his historical knowledge of the 12th dynasty and the co-reign of Amenhotep I with his son Sesostris I, with the father having supreme authority. For them, it's just simply a couple of centuries, Moses from Joseph, apart. So this would be history that would be readily available. So 15, as we noted, Amenhotep I was the pharaoh of the attempted coup. 16, the biblical account simply states that two servants, the cupbearer and the baker, were involved in some action that, quote, offended their lord, end quote. So 17, the Hebrew verb for offended, which is katha, literally means, quote, sin or miss the mark, end quote. It indicates a serious and grievous transgression on their part. It wasn't just an irritating situation for the Pharaoh. So 18, their offense according to the historical record was supposed insurrection towards the throne. So 19, now that these two men in our verses were not just staff members, but were the highest in their rank, is made clear in verse 2. And Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, Balkasaph, Pharaoh, El Shanaim, Saris, Al-Sar ha-Mashaketh, Wal-Al-Sar ha-Atha. 20, a chief cupbearer was more than just someone to pour the king's wine. That's why I think wine steward, cupbearer, it just kind of is a little lacking in regards to fully understanding this position. He didn't have somebody just go around, and he had this high position of authority went into the kingdom with a glass of wine, just pouring a little wine, and that was it. Now, it was a professional status that he had in regards to the palace and serving the king. So it would be like the chief butler of the house. 21, today a cupbearer would be tantamount to a butler overseeing the service of the house. Not only got to have the wine ready, but he got to make sure that the study's all set up for him to sit down there and his favorite cigar sitting there next to him or whatever they smoked, you know. And his pet greyhound or whatever's sitting next to him, or the leopard or whatever. Yeah, I'm a little partial, but that's all right. And to ensure that everything's taken care of for the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was the big Hollywood movie star of today, or the rock and roll star, where everybody just bowed down and made sure everything was taken care of. And probably taken care of on a lot higher level than what people are associated with today. It was a very important position. It had a sense of closeness, as it would be this type of person with the owner. You know, some movies kind of show that when you have movies about butlers and stuff and people that they work for, etc., just how close they become, a butler or a nanny, as it may be on the female end. 22, such an official served as a confidant to the king and wielded political influence. So it would be someone that obviously had some smarts to him. Someone that he could jaw with about everyday affairs, get some feedback, a sounding board. And the king might listen, obviously. This is why, and Joseph knows this, this is why he asked Joseph, hey, if you remember, man, say something to Pharaoh about me. Yeah, paraphrasing. 23, Nehemiah, which we have the Old Testament book Nehemiah written by him, held a comparable position in the Persian court under Artaxerxes the First. That's Nehemiah 11, verse 11 through chapter 2, verse 8. And let's just stop it right there. And we'll pick this up Tuesday evening. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things. In Jesus' name, amen.